You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Adam and team, for that worship song and reminding us of God's great heart for the poor, for the powerless, and for us, and how he goes after us to heal us and to restore us. And we're just grateful for his kingdom and how he reaches everyone. And we're so thankful for how he's raising up leaders to help the poor, and he's inviting us. I mean, even just last night, I was working on the sermon late, and our janitor came up to me. He has this crazy Scottish name that I can't remember. And he's like, there's a man laying in a parking lot. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and he's not moving. And I kind of tried to move him, and he wouldn't move, and he's breathing. And I was like, man, I'm not used to working at a church where homeless people, people that are experiencing homelessness, people that are experiencing addiction are literally right at our doorstep. And I don't know what to do. And so he called the police, and I'm pretty sure they took care of him, whatever that looks like. But it's just interesting that MCA is positioned, you know, between a mall and agriculture, and we have homeless people coming here every day, every night. I just wonder what God might have for us, even as we consider what he's doing downtown. So let's just pay attention to that. Well, as we begin our third sermon on spiritual friendship, I want to begin at the end of one of the most well-known friendships in the Bible. It's David and Jonathan. We learned so much about them in our very informative trivia, but we're going to learn even more about them now. And at the ending of this friendship, we learn of just the beauty of what was between them through a lament song from David. Because Jonathan has fallen in battle, and so you have this beautiful dirge from David in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it passionately. David sings, "How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman. How the mighty have fallen, the weapons of war have perished." Jonathan's death was a terrible, unexpected rupture in David's life. He was more than likely planning to see Jonathan after the battle, sometime thereafter. And so those plans obviously had to change. And then without Jonathan in his life, David would have faced a growing flood of loneliness and uncertainty. And I wouldn't have been surprised if David found himself saying, "Man, I wish I could go back to the way things were." I want to begin with this song and what it evokes because it speaks to the season of life that we have been in these past 3 or 4 months. Like David, we found ourselves in an unexpected relational rupture caused by COVID-19 social restrictions that were implemented last mid-March. And while these have hindered the spread of COVID-19, and we thank God for that, especially in BC, there's a sense of loss and grief and loneliness that has become pandemic and has actually spread as we've socially isolated in our homes, as we've closed schools, as we've canceled precious family gatherings this summer, we've canceled weddings and pubs and cafes and gyms have been emptied. All these places where we would meet and do relationship. And maybe you found yourself longing with David, "I wish we could go back to how it was like 5 months ago." Part of our loss or sense of loss is the realization of just how valuable our friendships are. As the saying goes, and I heard this last week, you don't really know what you have until it's gone. In David's lament, we can pick up on just how precious Jonathan was to him when he says, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother." He's not just a friend, he's a brother, he's family. "You're very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman." And it's interesting to note that when you track their relationship over the book of 1 Samuel, you never have any record of David speaking this openly about what Jonathan means to him. And so I wonder if even in David's heart, as he's singing and he's recollecting on his friendship, he had the sense of like, what could have been, what he could have said to his friend, but now it's too late. And at this point, I want to part ways with David because as I was praying about this message this morning, it's not a message of what could have been. This is a message about what could be in our friendships. You see, with all our newly felt longing and appreciation for friendship, it's so fresh to us right now, combined with all our relational rhythms just being thrown out of the window, we don't have to go back to the way things were. We don't have to go back to same. Especially as the social restrictions lift and I think we're heading into phase three, or maybe we already are in phase three. But we don't have to go back to normal because I think normal looked like a lot of relational ruts in our lives. We were content with shallow conversations, cruising on autopilot in our friendships, taking them for granted maybe. I think of marriages where we've lost touch with our spouse spiritually and we've just accepted that. Well, that's just the way things are. We're super busy. There's these ruts and it's very hard to get out of a rut. But with these social restrictions and just kind of the turning upside down of our social lives, we've been given an opportunity. And ironically, in many ways, it's we who have restricted ourselves relationally and socially. It's not just Dr. Bonnie Henry's fault, okay? She's doing a great job. God has so much more for our relationships. We've just lacked the imagination of what they could look like. We've lacked the motivation. Maybe we've lacked the courage. But I believe the Spirit of God is calling us to deeper relationships in this time, not only with Him, but also with one another. And so this sermon series is not an accident. It's very purposeful. It's very timely. We believe that on God's heart for this time is a call to deeper relationship with Him through the gift that is spiritual friendship. It's a gift. So I want to pray for us. Lord, we quiet ourselves before You. We thank You, God, that You're a God that speaks. And when You speak, God, when You summon us, we get to respond. And so this morning, we want to respond in faith as Your Spirit speaks to us, as we gather together around Christ to hear His good word to us. Lord, would You give us the obedience that comes from faith? Would You give us the courage to enter into new realms of relationship with one another? And in those that we would meet with You, God, and You would grow us into maturity in Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen. So how did David and Jonathan's relationship begin? Well, we read about it in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 4. After David had finished talking with King Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic. And he gave him his sword and his bow and his belt as well. The part I didn't read in this story is the more gruesome part where it's most likely that while David was talking to King Saul, he was holding the head of Goliath. So it's a pretty graphic moment. And it's gruesome because, you know, most of us aren't warriors and we're not from that time. I mean, the last time I was anything near a warrior was when I was hunting at a farm in elementary school. We lived on a pig farm and I had a pellet gun and I shot like this innocent robin. And then I wept. And so I'm not much of a warrior or a hunter. But David was a warrior. And so was Jonathan. You can read about Jonathan's exploits in chapter 14. But not only that, they're both worshipers of God and they have this incredibly deep, courageous trust in God. And what strikes me about the beginning of this friendship is not so much that you have all the natural ingredients and affinity for a strong friendship and even a spiritual friendship, but it's God's providence. Because this friendship is actually incredibly unlikely. And then it's so perfectly timed. And so I can't help but see God's hand bringing it together. And it is to say that all spiritual friendship is a gift from God, is a grace from God. So let's think about it for a moment. David is the last person that should be on Jonathan's list for friendship. Jonathan is next in line to the throne. He's heir apparent. And so David's military prowess holding the head of Goliath means he is an incredible threat politically. He is a rival. And I just imagine the kind of work that God did in Jonathan's heart so that instead of being filled with jealousy, as his father will be and be consumed by, Jonathan is filled with love. He isn't threatened at all. How is Jonathan so unlike his dad? How did the apple fall so far from the tree? Saul's faith in God was paper thin. Jonathan's was brawny. Saul broke his commitments in the face of pressure. You see that in chapters 13 and 15. But Jonathan kept his commitments. He was loyal. Even the covenant he makes with David at great cost and sacrifice to himself. So there's all that unlikeliness in the friendship happening in the first place. And then there's the timing of it. David's probably not looking for a friend at this point. His star is rising. He's becoming famous. He's probably feeling a little independent. But little does he know, in a few short days, King Saul is going to be throwing spears at him, trying to pin him to a wall and kill him. And so he's going to have this huge need for a companion and for a spiritual friend to walk with him through this harrowing time. And that's what the Lord provides. And as I thought about that, I recalled a quote from C.S. Lewis in his book on the Four Loves, where he talks about how God arranges our friendships. And this is what C.S. Lewis writes. Quote, "In friendship, we think we have chosen our peers, but in reality, a few years' difference in dates of birth, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the accident of a topic being raised or not being raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to his disciples, 'You have not chosen me, I have chosen you,' now says to any group of Christian friends, 'You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another.'" That's beautiful. A secret master of ceremonies is at work in the story of Jonathan and David. You can read it between the lines. And how about you? Can you recognize God's work in your life in the area of spiritual friendships? And just as God gave David a spiritual friend in Jonathan, Jonathan's name literally means Yahweh has given. Jonathan is God's gift to David. So God gives you and I spiritual friendship with others. And what this means is that we don't have to force it. We don't have to bribe people. Also, I think, Brendan, like when you've had really strong spiritual friendship in the past, you can think, well, there's no way that God could ever replicate that in the future. And I know what that's like. But we can actually trust him to actually bring about that same grace with other people that come into our life. And so I want to call us to pay attention to the people God already has in our life. And then listen for the Spirit's invitation to move into spiritual friendship with them. Or if you already have that, to move deeper in fellowship and connection with them. Now, as I'm talking about how God arranges friendships, I recognize that it's going to trigger some people. And I think this series has. You know, we've talked about friendship over the past 3 months, that people have been feeling their loneliness. And when I talk about God being a master of ceremonies, it could exacerbate that sense of like, well, not for me. I just am facing this gripping loneliness. And may I gently encourage you, as one who is no stranger to loneliness, is that it's been my experience, and I see this pattern in Scripture, that sometimes God will carry us through an absence of friendship so that we can become more attuned to his presence and his friendship with us. And so he's shaping us in the absence to notice his presence. I've seen that time and time again. And it's not to romanticize loneliness, but it is to say that God can use that season. And so if you're in a season of loneliness, I want you to consider asking the Lord this question in prayer. Lord, what might you be trying to grow in our friendship through this loneliness? Lord, what are you up to? I don't want to miss out on that. And it may be a costly lesson, but I want us to be being open to what God might be doing if we're in a season of loneliness. Well, whatever your experience of relationships is right now, rest assured the Lord is working. And he's also seeking to grow, and that's something that Jonathan models so well and yet is so difficult, and that is vulnerability. Did you notice at the end of the passage we just read that Jonathan gives things away? Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and he gave it to David, and along with his tunic, and then he gave his sword and his bow and his belt. So first, Jonathan gives up the safety of his royalty by giving David garments associated with kingship. So there's this making himself vulnerable in that gesture. And then in an even greater leap of vulnerability, Jonathan gives David his own weapons, the very things that Jonathan can protect himself with. He gives to David, his potential rival. And so there's no way for Jonathan to know that David would not, you know, one day later use those same weapons that he's given by Jonathan to kill Jonathan and take the throne in some way. But Jonathan is willing to take that risk. He's committed to the friendship that God is growing between them. And that's just it. Spiritual friendship involves a commitment to risk, to a lowering of the guard. And it's as we take these steps of vulnerability that our spiritual friendships are cultivated. And you can see this in the next passage that we're going to look at, where Jonathan once again relinquishes his weapons to show David his trust in him. It's kind of a quirky, ancient cultural story, and you could check it out in chapter 20, but just to save time, we're going to look at the very end of it and look at the exchange that happens between David and Jonathan. So 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 40 to 42. And maybe just to give one more little piece of context here. So Jonathan has fired an arrow into a field as a sign to David that King Saul is indeed super angry and actually wants to kill David. And so we pick the story up right after that moment. So then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy. Again, this letting go of the weapons. Go carry my weapons back to town. And after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and he bowed before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. And then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. And then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. And then David left and Jonathan went back to town. Jonathan could have come to David once again protected with his weapons, especially because just before this story, King Saul has reprimanded his son in front of everyone saying, don't you know that David is a threat to your throne and we have to kill him. But Jonathan doesn't listen to his father. He steps out in vulnerability, goes to David. And with the second act of vulnerability, another step, there's this powerful deepening of their bond of friendship. They weep before each other and they're sharing and comforting one another in the grief of just how unjust everything is. And how David's going to now have to be on the run for his life. He's now an outlaw. And then Jonathan's losing his father. His father is being eaten up from the inside by jealousy and anger and rage. And there's nothing that Jonathan can do. And after they cry and they comfort one another, they renew the covenant of friendship that they had made before. There's this renewing of commitment, of friendship. Being vulnerable is not easy. It is scary. For one, it doesn't take much life experience to know that when you're vulnerable to someone, you can get hurt. And vulnerability involves the risk of rejection, that someone could see who you really are and say, there's something wrong with you. I don't like you. I'm out. I'm going to leave you. That is a terrible prospect. We fear that. And it makes me think of my relationship with Beth when we had first started dating. It was about 12 years ago in Vancouver. And our relationship had hit a wall. We couldn't move forwards anymore. And it was because of me and the wounds from my past. before my relationship with Beth, I'd had a couple dating relationships, not at the same time. As I was editing my sermon, I'm like, that could be misconstrued at different times, dating different women. But what happened was I experienced a lot of rejection, and I'd made myself very open and vulnerable, and it was very painful for me. And so when I came into my dating relationship with Beth, I had all this baggage, and I didn't realize how deep it went. And so it made it so hard for me to see Beth. It was like I had baggage for glasses, and all I could see was just, oh, she's going to hurt me. She's going to do exactly what happened in the past. And so I couldn't trust Beth. But it wasn't because of Beth. It was because of my past and this baggage. And I started to realize that, but then I felt helpless because, like, I don't know how I can change this. And so we were stuck. And Beth knew it, and I knew it, and we were at this impasse. And then one day we were walking to a park, and I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, Marcus, you need to get vulnerable. You need to just lay this out before Beth. You got to just lay down your weapons before her. And I was so freaked out to be that vulnerable with her. My greatest fear was that when I told her what I was struggling with, and then that I was struggling to trust her, which is kind of insulting, and then that I didn't know how to change it, I was afraid that she was going to leave me, that she was going to reject me. And then I'd be left alone in my baggage and brokenness. And so imagine if I had refused to be vulnerable with her. How could our spiritual friendship deepen if I wasn't willing to risk opening up my heart to her? And so by the grace and courage of God, I did. I was stammering and I just laid it out, and it was such a beautiful moment. And as I opened up my heart, I became the most vulnerable I'd ever been with Beth up to that point in time. And I admitted that I struggled with trusting her, and I had no clue how to fix it. And I like to know how to fix things. And I just sat there in my total vulnerability, and Beth said to me, she said, Marcus, I'm not going anywhere. And it was just like, oh, it was this unconditional love, and it was so healing for me. And it was a major turning point in our relationship, but also in our spiritual friendship together. As you consider spiritual friendship in your own life, where may God be inviting you to be more transparent and vulnerable? And what weapons and protections is God inviting you to lay down, like Jonathan did, so that you can know a greater connection in spiritual friendship? And so God can work in your life through those spiritual friendships. Because so often God will bring us from infancy to maturity through our spiritual friendships. In our last passage this morning, I want to look at the encouragement that we get from our spiritual friendships. And we're going to see this in David and Jonathan once again. And the greatest example of that is when David is hiding in the desert. He's afraid for his life, and Jonathan goes and he seeks him out. It's in 1 Samuel 23, 15 to 18. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. So he's on the run. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, Jonathan says to David. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And then Jonathan went home, and David remained at Horesh. At great risk to himself, Jonathan seeks out David, even though he could have been maybe tried for treason and killed by his father. In fact, his father has tried to kill Jonathan at least once or twice before. So at great risk, he seeks out his friend who's hiding in the desert, discouraged. And there, when he finds him, he helps him find strength in God. I just love that line. There are times in our lives when, try as we might, we won't be able to find strength on our own in God to move into what He has for us. We are stuck. We are discouraged. And it's in those moments that God so often will bring a friend. And then there are times when God's Spirit will lead us to a friend that is hiding, that is discouraged. And He uses us to encourage them to step boldly into what God has for them. It's both ways. Just the other day, I was meeting with a young Christian man, a dear brother to me, and he was feeling a bit like David in the desert. And so we're talking about it and eating our fish tacos, and he's just sharing how he's discouraged and how he's trying to find encouragement in God through private prayer and private devotions and private scripture reading, and it was all just him on his own. And because I've been thinking a lot about spiritual friendship, I just said, hey, brother, or hey, bro, you don't have to go it alone, man. You've got these spiritual friendships in your life, and God has given them to you so that they can help you find strength in God. And it was like this breath of fresh air just came in, and his countenance lifted, and he was like, yeah, okay, it's not all up to me. As we come to the end of the sermon, listen to just how Jonathan helps David find strength in God. He says three words to David. He says, do not fear. Don't be afraid. And when I read that as I was studying, I just couldn't help but think about all the times that that is said all throughout the scriptures. Whose favorite line is that? That's God's favorite line. God is always saying to his people, do not fear. And so maybe David knew that was true, that maybe in his head he could conceive that God be saying that to him, but he was just so discouraged that he wasn't able to be strengthened by that word. And this is where spiritual friendship is such a gift from God, that when we lack the strength of faith to believe God's word for our life, God will often provide a friend who will believe that word for us, and they will share it with us in a way that we can receive it and be strengthened. It's this beautiful picture of the body and how we're interdependent, and how God will be providential in providing for us friends that can hold that word for us, beside us, and with us, and encourage us forwards. And I've seen this time and time again in my own life as I've been stuck in deserts. And I pray that you have experienced that as well. And I pray that we experience that more as we step out in faith and we take risks together with God. So this encouragement that we have in spiritual friendship is just one of the many blessings in spiritual friendship. They're given to us by God, and that we receive them as we learn to be more open and vulnerable with each other. Amen.